Hi, this is Terry Kuzma from the NAC Center at Penn State University, and I'd like to continue in Unit 5, Micro and Nanomaterials Bioapplications. This is Lecture 3, and we're going to review biocompatibility and cellular overview. We're going to take a special look today. We're in this portion of the notes right here. We're starting out at nanoscale materials for biological interaction, and an interesting nanomaterial that we're going to take a look at and review is the liposome. And the liposome is for the last 20 years, it certainly plays an important role in curing cancer, et cetera, and cancer drug delivery. So nanoparticles are useful due to the small size and scaling to biology. And usually in this area, we're going to look at somewhat like probably a good number to look at is, you know, nanoparticles that are in and about 100 nanometers. So by saying that, I think that, you know, a nanoparticle that's 30 nanometers is valid, you know, 80, 90, 100, or 200. But a number, ballpark, about 100 nanometers is really useful for biological interaction. And that's due to, again, the scale of the cell. Nanoparticles could be made from a metal, a semiconductor, a polymer, must interact on the cellular level. Some terms will be defined to understand this interaction. Size and scale are important to understand how nanotechnology can be applied to medicine. On a cellular level, a cell is about 10 microns, and as we discussed before, that's just a rough number. They can vary in size, but, you know, just an even number for an engineer to remember. They're about 10 microns, and then the pores that exist in the cell, whether it's in the nucleus or the cell walls, etc., pores open up, they might be about 100 nanometers or so. So that's why it's important to, and defects in cells that we'll take a look at later. 100 nanometers are about a number that we want to take a look at. And then, you know, if we would recall that amino acids themselves, each amino acid is about a nanometer or so in size. Just as a quick review of what we're looking at as far as spatially what we need to see out of a nanoparticle. So what I'd like to take a look at now is the liposome. And again, it's an important system that people have been used to engineer for drug delivery, et cetera, maybe for the last 20 years or so. It's been very important. So the first man-made nanoparticle we'll take a look at is the liposome. The word liposome is from two Greek words, lipo, which means fat, and soma, which means body. So it's a fat body. So phospholipids are the building block, and we'll take a look at that. The phospholipid in an aqueous environment orient themselves in a thermodynamically stable form called a bilayer. This bilayer can further orient itself into a sphere known as a liposome. And again, this is to minimize energy. It'll fold itself into a sphere. So a liposome is an artificially prepared vessel composed of a lipid bilayer. The liposome could be used for a vehicle for administration of pharmaceutical drugs. It could be used to house and deliver DNA or RNA. It could be used for like tags, like fluorescent tags, so that we can see where this liposome actually found its way in the body, and we can tag different things like cancers, whatever. And we can also use it for liposomes are used to deliver nutrients. And when they're used in that form, what they do is they avoid like the digestive tract per se, so that they're not destroyed in that environment. So they go directly per se in the bloodstream, and they're more efficiently digested by the cells. So liposomes are really cool because they're biodegradable. So they're not foreign. A lot of issues with drugs or drug delivery are that, there's side effects. But really, there's no side effects or discernible side effects with liposomes because they're biodegradable. So this is a picture of a liposome. This is the nanoparticle of interest. I found this on the internet. I thought it was a really enlightening and entertaining picture. I really like the vibrant colors that were on here, and it shows a lot of what we're going to discuss in the presentation. So I was just going to do a quick overview of where we're going here with this nanoparticle to show you what we're taking a look at. So again, this is a liposome, and the key to this is the phospholipid right here on this shell. So this is a cutaway, and that shows the bilayer of the phospholipid. So that forms, and this would form up into a conventional sphere. Again, this is a cutaway, so this would be completely encapsulated. So it'd look like a golf ball. So what we can see from this picture, which is interesting, and probably the thing that is going to be highlighted in this presentation, is this red system in the middle. And that red crystal is shown, and it's representative of a drug. So that would be a drug that we would probably want to deliver. In our case, what we're going to look at for this presentation, a nice example is, that would be the drug that we would want to deliver, like for cancer. And a lot of issues with, you know, cancer drugs and you know, the conventional cancer drugs that they have now, what they try to do is they try to kill the cancer quicker than they kill the rest of the patient. But you always have side, incidents where the person has problems with the drugs, not just the cancer. So that's what the liposome does, is with this shell, this fat layer shell, what it's going to do is it's going to hold the drug in there so that it only goes to the appropriate place. So that brings up the question, how does it go to the appropriate place, or how does it know? Well, there's a couple few key factors that would allow us to do that, and we can see that within this picture. We can have things like antibodies shown here in the corner, and these are put on the suspension. There's like this polymer arm that is placed on the liposome itself. So the liposome is this red sphere, and what we would do is we'd have this arm extension that we could engineer onto the liposome, and we can see over here that it actually can attach to another area. So this is like a lock and key system. So what we have is the liposome has this antibody on here, and what it does is it actually acts like a selective Velcro. So now this liposome can be addressed, I guess you can call it addressed, so that these locks or keys will go only to a certain area and bind to there. So for a quick example, we could do something like this. I guess we would call this key. This key is indicative of some type of cancer. This is some cancer and exhibits this protein on here. Well, this will find that protein and lock on to the system. So this liposome is actually addressable. So that's really something that you were able to do that. And again, we can have these, you know, we could have this protein antibody up here on the surface of the liposome, but people found out experimentally, and it just makes sense to me spatially, that when you place them on the arm here, they could probably bind in a larger area, so they can actually find those proteins. So this extends what it can do, where it can find. So if it was limited to the shell right here, it would be harder as far as the diameter. This extends the diameter of the ability to search for this lock and key. So that's what people find. But they do put antibodies, per se, that would functionalize this particle, send it to a certain location right on the liposome. But most people find out that in areas like this, on this extended arm, that it's more effective. The other thing that's on here is shown, I guess we describe it as this furry mass on the outside of the liposome. That's probably some type of polymer. And what that's on there for, what it does is it kind of hides the liposome, because the body would see this as, per se, a foreign object and want to clear it out of the body. So what this does is this polymer fur on here, it prevents the body from seeing this as a foreign object, so that it can circulate in the bloodstream for a longer duration, so that it can actually find the place where it's directed, whether that, you know, for our example, it's going to be to a cancer location. The other thing that's not shown on this drawing, I guess it's hidden in this drawing, these particles, you know, are, you know, 100 nanometers or so across. So what that would do is there's a thing that we're going to look at later in the presentation, that actually cancer itself is leaky, per se, and has little pits in it or holes, or it's like a shingle missing from a house. And that shingle missing from a house would be about 100 nanometers. What we can do is we can actually send this through the bloodstream multiple times throughout your system. And what it'll do is find those little defects in cancer and actually go in those little holes. So it's interesting that the scale of the liposome naturally fits into the defects of cancer. And that plays a role, again, with this little furry kind of polymer that's on the outside. The more often that this would circulate past and through the body past cancer, it would find, you know, a stronger likelihood that it's going to embed into the cancer. So that's very interesting. So this picture is, you know, really shows a lot of what we're going to do within this next section, this next, you know, unit three. We're going to take a look at these things. And this drug, again, is going to go to the cancer, and then this would dissolve this outer layer, and then this would be delivered. The drug could be inside the sphere, in the aqueous sphere of the liposome, or could actually be embedded here inside the bilayer, or the drug could be on the outer core. This is just shown that it's in here. Not shown on this drawing, but on other drawings, we can actually put fluorescent tags in here, which is very interesting. So this, again, when we take a look at the shell, and if we go back here, this is the shell right here. This is the phospholipid, and this is the self-assembly unit that is going to make up that wall of the liposome. So this is the same tenet that we used when we took a look at the cell walls in a cell and the nuclear envelope. So it's the same theme, but now we're using a man-made cell, per se, a man-made cellular delivery system, and it's scaled a lot smaller than a conventional biological cell, so that we could send this fat cell into a location where we desire. So this is another nice drawing of the liposome. And again, here's the surface proteins so that this can actually be targeted to someplace in the body. Like cancer can express because of what cancer is, and there's different types of cancers. But for each cancer, there's usually an indicative overexpressed protein that exists, and that's how they detect the cancer. We could use that, and then this could fit into that protein that's overexpressed locally in some type of cancer. So this would be addressable so that it would actually seek out those binding sites on the cancer. And again, what we might do is not only have them right on the body, we would take something like that thing in here and extend it on some type of arm, and then that arm tends to be more effective. This is just drawn on the surface, you know, just visually so we can see it better. And then this is what I was talking about before, these polymers that we can put on the surface sugars that we put on the outside of the liposome. And before, I described that as like the fur that's on there, so you can get take a look at it and refer back to that other drawing. I'll go back. So this was the sugar on the outside right here, that thing I described as the fur. That this, what it does is it's like a stealth technology. It keeps the body from taking this out of the system so that it can actually find its target. And then the drugs, like I said before, we could have the drugs, the oil-soluble drugs, would fit in here where this is fats. So these are the fatty tails of the phospholipid, and this is where we can embed drugs that are oil-soluble. So on the center of the liposome, this is the water area, the water casing on the inside, and we could have water-soluble drugs that are in the core. And likewise, we could have things, and I don't know how to represent them, but, you know, just as like a star. These could be fluorescent particles, like a gold plasmon. It could be some kind of metal nanoparticle that exhibits a light emission, or it could be a quantum dot or something. And we could do that. We could put quantum dots inside this fatty core or a plasmon. We could put the quantum dots here on the inside of the aqueous core. And then we could also put, you know, per se, some type of tagging on the outside of the core, on the outside of the liposome too. So this just shows that, you know, this is a really nice delivery system that we could use in the body. And it's nice because the body doesn't want to get rid of it right away because it's hidden, and it can be addressed to certain areas. And again, the scale itself, the scale, fits the cellular loop, usage, rather nicely too. So this is a nice drawing and shows you where we're going in this presentation, with the liposome. And again, I'm going to explain all this in detail as we go through, so you can appreciate the power of this. You know, certainly it's a revolutionary thing in nanotechnology and a revolutionary thing in pharmacology. So the nanoparticle as the, a liposome, what we want to do is say, well, how could we, you know, I loosely gave you that overview and we took a look at a couple of quick cartoons to see what they look like. But, you know, how would we actually like qualify and quantify what a liposome is? And, you know, it's nice that the FDA set up these guidelines to establish the quality control of these new therapies based on liposomes. So what they do is they set these standards, this checklist. And I thought the checklist was really nice that we can see that this is how liposomes could be described. And if you would change any delineator like size, if we would change the size, then that would change the functionality of the liposome. So they established these guidelines and controls given in the link shown right here. And what they do is they quantify what a liposome is. And if you would change these parameters, then certainly you would change the functionality of the liposome. And what they want to do is maintain that the functionality of the liposome is the same all the time, because they would like to equate this standardization to some drug, and this drug would be effective in that role because it met these parameters, or these parameters were actually watched. So this is the quality control on a liposome. So the physicochemical properties of the liposome drug product are critical to ensuring the drug product quality. Again, if we would change these parameters, then the quality of the effectiveness of the drug or the liposome delivery system would be changed. These manufacturing guidelines also reflect the interaction of liposomes and show variables that change the functionality of the man-made particle. So while this is like when the system is done and the government's regulating these drug delivery systems, what we can also do as engineers is look at these guidelines to say, how do we want to engineer this particular product? So this is the list. The FDA has proposed that properties specific to liposome drug products that might be useful to assess include the morphology of the liposome, including the lamellarity determination if applicable. So the morphology is, I always think of, you know, when you look at the moon, what is the morphology of the moon? So there's like the Sea of Tranquility, there's mountain ranges and all that other stuff. So it's actually the contours of the outer shell of the liposome. So it's like a three-dimensional map kind of thing. We also look at the net charge, you know, the electrical charge on the liposome, because it can electrically interact with the body. We look at the volume and entrapment of the liposome vesicle. So what, you know, how much drugs and stuff can we put inside the inside of the liposome? We certainly look at the particle size. And, you know, when we're manufacturing things on a nanoscale, it's just given that we're going to have some type of Gaussian distribution, and we want to have a rather narrow Gaussian distribution so that we could have the appropriate particle size that we want to engineer. But naturally, we're going to have some tolerance in there. So we look at the mean and the distribution profile. So some types of Gaussian distribution we're going to take a look at for the control of the manufacturer. And we'll take a look at that in the presentation, how they would actually control the size of the liposome. So we'll go over the manufacturing methodologies and how they actually would dial in this narrow Gaussian distribution. We also look at the phase transition temperature. So naturally, this is an organic molecule. It's a fat, etc. So as we apply heat, it would actually come apart. You know, so the binding energy would be overcome by the thermal energy. So naturally, that would be a nice one to look at. We look at the spectroscopic data, you know, if applicable, that would prove what we're doing with our nanoparticle. We look at the in vitro release of the drug substance from the product. We look at osmotic properties, you know, how this would actually operate within, in probably in vivo. And then the light scattering index, again, to prove what our liposome is. And again, these are quality control issues that the government sets as standards. And this would assure that, you know, this particular entity, the liposome, is going to meet some desired needs. So I thought it was a nice checklist to show where we're going within this presentation and where we want to wind up with a liposome and how we would manufacture them. So that's a nice job by the FDA. So liposomes themselves can deliver active molecules to the site of action and these have less waste and potential damage to other cells. So a goal, if we were, you know, to look at, and again, we're going to key in this presentation in, you know, we want to use this as a cancer drug. We certainly want to send a cancer drug to the site of the cancer tumor, but not to surrounding areas, because we would destroy the surrounding areas with the cancer drug, which is very poisonous. So this, what it's going to do is, you know, limit the non-ideal drug delivery to the patient, so the patient can be healthier during the cancer treatment. So there's major types of liposomes, and we'll take a look at them. There's the multi-lamellar vessel, the MLV right here, and how it's shown is there's a liposome within a liposome within a liposome, and it can not only be that, it can actually be, you know, we can have a round one, and we could have one like this, maybe a couple smaller ones, or we could have things like this. So they could be of any size. This is really symmetric, this one over here, but they could be, you know, multiple liposomes trapped together, these fat spheres trapped within one entity right here. And these things really aren't probably what we want, because we can't put a lot of drugs in them for our drug delivery or tagging, etc. And they're really not controlled. They're variables. I mean, this one could be any different ways. You know, we could have another one in here, and it would certainly be different than the other one. And this, as a delivery system, the one that I'm drawing by hand in here, certainly that would, you know, have variability in the amount of drugs that we could deliver to the site. So it's really not controlled. You know, the size is probably too big too. So those probably aren't the swiftest things. And then we could have a large lamellar vesicle right over here. And these things, like I said, the ones that we want are probably less than 100 nanometers or in and about there within some tolerance. But, we probably don't want to use this one that much because it might be too big for a lot of uses that we have. So the one that is probably nearest and dearest to a lot of applications is the small unilamellar vessel showed right here, when it's about 20 to 100 nanometers in diameter. And what is shown in here, I guess, or what you can look at is there's probably a large payload that could be placed inside that sphere. So this is the one that we're probably going to key on the most for our presentation, and the one they use for drug delivery the most, certainly in this presentation. So, you know, liposomes, you might want to say, well, are these things available? You know, can we make them easily? How are they done? Well, they're actually affordable and available. And I looked at one of the, you know, main suppliers of, and there's multiple suppliers of liposomes and liposome kits that you can dial in on Google, you know, take a look at. But, you know, for example, we looked at Sigma Aldrich right here, and they sell a kit listed, and we can, we'll take a look at how they prepare these liposomes in a little bit. But they sell this powder that we can use as a kit, and you can, it's $85. So this stuff isn't thousands of dollars. It's rather affordable, and it gives you the composition, what it contains. You know, I always picture these things as, you know, like a, I don't know, like a fatty omelet or something like that. So at least in my head. And then these are the links right here. You could look those up on your own and take a look at the different products that they have. And again, I just wanted to show that these things aren't, these are used in, you know, hospitals on a daily basis, you know, for cancer. These are the liposome delivery system is used quite often. So these are per se state of the art and rather affordable to do. So this is, you know, how we'd make the liposome. So we go and we buy our powdered lipid kit, you know, comes as, it reminds me of dry powdered eggs or whatever. And what we do is we put it in our beaker with some organic solvent, and then we freeze dry it, and then we make this lipid cake. Then at this point, what we can do is we can add, you know, in the third step, we add some water, and what it's going to do is allow these things, this lipids, to form within the water. So this is basically, I don't know, in some ways, I mean, roughly speaking, it's like a fat cake. So it's like a fatty sponge-like type material. And when we add the water, it's going to separate from the water into different multi-laminar vesicles. So this is, we apply the aqueous solution, and then we probably do some type of agitation. So this could be in a ultrasonic bath, etc. And what we're going to do is mix the water along with this fat cake, and we're going to break it up, and then we get these multi-lamellar vesicles. And we probably don't want to have that, you know, for our delivery system typically. So what we're going to do is we would take this is our bulk material now. And what we're going to do is we're going to take it into a further process to where we're actually going to put it in a, you know, some kind of sonication unit or extrusion, which I'm going to show. And then what we're going to do is try to hone these down into a smaller distribution of small unilamellar vesicles. So these would be the ones that we want. So it's actually, if you take a look at this, it's a moderately simple process, probably not so much harder than making an omelet for breakfast. So, you know, this is certainly a doable type of thing. And again, it's readily available commercially. So this just shows the same process right here. We make this film, we add water, it swells, and then here shown, which is real nice, this picture is nice, it shows the phospholipids in here. And what they're going to do through agitation is break down into these multi-lamellar vesicles right here. And then we're going to take it in two routes. We can have sonication up here where we're going to get our smaller particles, or we could take it over here, you know, as a schematic. We could take these multi-lamellar vesicles, and we can take them through some extrusion process and then make them into smaller particles, etc. So, and again, this company here, since I didn't mention it yet, Avanti. Avanti is a nice company, and certainly they're a leader in lipid technology on the internet. And in fact, we're purchasing equipment from them and raw material so that we could make labs, you know, in addition to this lecture. So this is an extrusion system here, and it's, you know, a smaller, per se, handheld one. And what we do is we would take our media right here that probably has the huge distribution of the multi-sized lipids in here, or liposomes. And what we're going to do is pass it back and forth between this filter. And when we do that, what we're going to do is extrude these liposomes down into a smaller size. So typically what they would do is load up, you know, the material in here, pass it this way through the filter, then this is going to extend, then they're going to pass it back this way through the filter. And every time they do that, what we're going to do is we're going to actually extrude smaller liposomes from the parent material that had that high distribution. And you can, there's videos on YouTube, so you can type in, you know, filtering liposomes, and up will pop some people showing this in real time. And what they often do, or what they do, is in this area, this would actually be temperature controlled, because we have to be slightly at the transition temperature so that we can break up those liposomes into their smaller parts and stuff like that. So this is a system that actually, you know, I'm taping this, but this week we're having conversations with this company so that we can buy this unit, so that we can make some type of video to support this presentation. So this shows you the initial particle size distribution, and they're rather large when we make the liposomes from our liposome kit, like we make an omelet. And then what we do is we put them through, you know, our extrusion system right here. And if, when we do that for three passes through 100 nanometer membrane, what we do is we actually shift the distribution of our particles to a smaller size. And then what we're going to do, this is the one that we're after right here. After 11 or, you know, 10 passes or so, that's what I saw on the internet on Google, we would get a nice Gaussian distribution around 100 nanometers, and that's what we need. And naturally, if we would change the size of the filter, the membrane right here, we would be able to shift this gauge and distribution back and forth, et cetera. So if we wanted to have, you know, 500 nanometer particles, we would look at something like a 500 nanometer membrane to use, and then that Gaussian distribution would be in here if we thought it was necessary to have 500 nanometers. And as I said before, most people in the literature, they're going to shift to, you know, some kind of zone in between here. So this is the area that people like to work with as far as drug delivery and cancer and stuff like that. So that's a nice system, and it shows you. And again, this is a small one for research and laboratory activities. They can have industrial systems that would, you know, house, you know, gallons and gallons or liters and liters of this material so that it could be separated, you know, more on an industrial scale. But this is just, you know, for research and labs and stuff. So, again, getting back to this, the small unilamellar liposome can hold a large payload load, and this suits many applications. So again, we generally want to have something to 20 to 100 nanometers in diameter. Liposomes can incorporate both water and fat soluble nutrients or drugs. So I showed that in a slide that had the green liposome earlier, and the water soluble ones would probably be in that water core on the inside, and the fat soluble drugs and nutrients would probably be located or lodged within the fatty tails of the liposome wall. So first generation liposomes, and what we're going to define as the first generation, did not use the protective layer that would prevent degradation. Second generation liposomes use an additional layer to hide the liposome from breakdown, and these would be like more stealthy liposomes. And that's that sugar polymer that they would put on the outside that I described on the liposome earlier, the one that was red and vibrant, that I said looked like fur, well, it does, you know, on that cartoon. So this is the thing that would make the liposomes not cleared from the system, like removed by the spleen or, you know, some types of antibodies within the system or the liver, et cetera, so that these things would circulate in the system longer. So this stealth, you know, those sugar coatings on the outside of the liposome allow the liposome to survive in the body longer and hopefully deliver the medicine to the desired area. Longer circulating liposomes are obtained by modulating the lipid composition, size, and charge. And again, these are the things that the government, the FDA, set up as delineators and control of the quality of the liposome and drug delivery system. Different methods have been suggested to achieve long circulation of liposomes in vivo, so this is in the body, including coating the liposome with an inert biocompatible polymer. Protective layer over the liposome surface. This is a protective layer over the liposome surface, and it slows down the liposome recognition by pinions. I should have practiced that word so you could say it at home, but I can't pronounce that right now, so I'll just pass by it. And then, therefore, subsequent clearance of the liposomes. And then the spleen and liver will still try to filter this out. And one of the most common coatings is polyethylene glycol. And they would call this, because this is hard to say, they call this PEG. So they would call this PEG. So the PEG is putting that furry stealth coating on the liposome. And the idea here is that the body would not remove that as a foreign material. And the longer that the liposome stays active within the body, hopefully the more time that we're going to give the liposome to find the area that we wanted to deliver it to. So pegylation, and again, this is the PEG right here, is the process of covalent attachment of the polyethylene glycol polymer changed to another molecule, normally a drug or therapeutic protein. The covalent attachment of PEG to a drug or therapeutic protein can mask the agent from the host immune system, and that's our goal, is to have a long circulation time of the liposome in the body. The PEG coating reduces uptake of the liposome within the reticuloendothelial system called the RES, and therefore slows the rate of removal from the liposomes from the blood. This effectively increases the biological half-life of the liposome. In clinical studies, conventional liposomes have been shown to have a half-life of about 20 minutes in body fluids, whereas pegylated liposomes can have a half-life up to 5 days. So one of the drugs that we're going to take a look at, and a famous drug, a very popular drug for cancer today is Doxil. So Doxil is a liposome cancer drug, has a half-life typically of 2 days in trials. So that's really nice. So we went up from, you know, an estimated something like a third of an hour, 20 minutes, to, you know, 48 hours or so. So that's going to allow our liposomes longer circulation time so that they can actually target the disease site. So this circulation time is very critical. Ligands can also be attached directly to the liposome shell. It has been found that the antibodies tethered to arms, so I showed that in that red drawing before with the red liposome, these antibodies that are tethered to the arms of the polyethylene glycol are more effective for some specific receptors. So if we would have those antibodies on the outside, they would be able to selectively bind to the target location quicker than if they were on directly on the body of the liposome. So liposomes can also be used to house tagging molecules. We discussed this before. The tagging can be done inside the liposome and or in the lipid shell, the bilayer, or on a polymers bonded to the liposome shell. So I showed that on the green in the discussion when we had the green colored liposome cartoon earlier in the presentation. So I showed you that I represented them as stars, that we can have those tag somewhere on the liposomes. So these liposomes can be used for many applications. They can deliver drugs, certainly what we're going to look at today. They can deliver DNA or RNA to a cell, which is interesting. If you had a defect in the RNA in your or DNA and then subsequent defect in RNA, what we could do is send in healthy RNA to help combat some type of disease. They can house tags, as we discussed before, like quantum dots or plasmons. And then it can also be used to deliver, you know, and probably inside their core, nutrients for delivery to a specific cell or area. Popular nowadays, and I don't know how effective it is liposomes for the delivery of vitamin C. So there's a bunch of those videos on YouTube, but they look, they didn't look like FDA approved or whatever. They looked like homemade kind of stuff. So I'll leave that as something that I would have more confidence in the research drug delivery that we're going to go over today. But they do have those things on the market. So quantum dots have been reported to be about, so we're going to take a look at tagging. Quantum dots have been reported to be about 20 times brighter and 100 times more photostable in comparison with organic dyes. So what we do is we can look at this experiment done by these gentlemen down here. And what they did is, using a 50 nanometer quantum dot and a liposome of 300 nanometers, and that's kind of big, they try to incorporate these 50 nanometer quantum dots. So given these dimensions of 300 nanometers for the liposome and 50 nanometers for the quantum dot, they showed that they could actually place in on average 3 quantum dots in each liposome. And the resultant signal was the same as 3 quantum dots. So the liposome didn't quench the signal from the quantum dots. So the author proposed that they're going to try to make smaller quantum dots, and maybe, you know, certainly when you make them smaller, they're going to be different colors, etc. And maybe you can have more packing density and more fluorescence in there. So that's an interesting paper that I encourage you to take a look at. So this visual tagging can allow a surgeon to isolate diseased tissue from a healthy tissue. So the proposal here is what they can do is give you an injection of these liposomes that are fluorescently tagged in the body, give them enough time that the liposomes would embed themselves, which we'll discuss in a bit, into a cancer location or a location that they specifically want to remove. Then what they can do is they could use these markers and some kind of visualization of the markers, and they could see what would be, you know, cancerous versus, you know, body material that's not cancer. And what they could do is they can probably surgically remove the stuff that's fluorescing. So they would be able to identify areas that needed to be removed from the body than healthy areas. So that's really important, not to remove too much material, only the material that's defective in the body when there's surgery, because it helps healing and other issues within that procedure. So we're going to take a look at, this is a nice gateway, we're going to take a look at these tags And what they did in the development of Doxil, which is a cancer delivery drug, which we're going to highlight in this presentation, what they did is they took gamma isotopes, and they also incorporated these gamma isotopes in the liposome along with the Doxil drug. So their, you know, goal was to deliver this Doxil, the drug that's inside the Doxil element. What they were trying to do is they're trying to see where these Doxil liposomes would actually reside in the body. So what they did is they tracked them with these isotopes. And then what they did is they took a look at the isotopes and found out where they lodged. So then that's where the Doxil lodged. And then these kind of look like a PET scan. So they selectively went to areas where the cancer was. And what a PET scan is, basically, what they're going to have is some kind of radioactive element connected to a sugar. And the idea with a PET scan is cancer is really hungry and has a huge uptake of sugar because it's more hungry than the adjacent body parts, and it has a higher metabolism. So the cancer is going to uptake sugar quicker than the rest of the non-cancerous parts in your body, you know, excluding like the eyes and the heart and the brain, because they take up a lot of sugar and use a lot of sugar, but other areas of the body won't. And so what the PET scan does is they look at the uptake of the sugar with this radioactive element. So this is a gamma scan. So this is showing a scan of labeled Doxil. And what they're doing is not looking at the Doxil. They're looking at the labeling agent that included in the liposome as the Doxil agent. And what they're doing is they're looking at Kaposi sarcoma. And what they show after 4 hours, how this, you know, liposome is circulating in the body and it has a chance to lodge in these areas. So this is the area of interest that we're going to look at. After 24 hours, we see that, you know, we have this 2-day circulation of that I mentioned before in Doxil. What it's going to do is circulate throughout the body. And this is the area that has cancer, and it's going to embed in these areas. So this is the area of interest right here. And after 48 hours, we can see this clearly, that the Doxil is actually finding the tumor and lodging selectively within the tumor. Again, this is the radioactive signal that's included. But what this proves is the Doxil is delivered to that area. And now since the Doxil is poisonous, the goal here is that Doxil is going to selectively kill this tumor. So this is the inside of Doxil, this doxorubicin, which is known as red death. This is the stuff that we're trying to lodge selectively in the tumor, and this is going to kill that tumor selectively. And interestingly, this would kill you too if this would hit your heart. So luckily it's protected within the liposome. So this doxorubicin is really deadly and destroys your heart. So while it's being pumped through your circulatory system, the liposome in the form of Doxil is protecting this from destroying your heart. So this shows that it actually goes into the lesions and compares the normal skin. So this is the adjacent skin and the radioactivity. This is a biopsy. So this shows you what was in the adjacent skin. So there's not that much in here. So what we're after is the selective delivery of this doxorubicin compared to the rest of the body. So this is really fantastic results and good news for cancer patients. And again, this is a drug that's currently on the market, so that it shows that it's actually selective for delivery to the cancer site. So as seen in the last slide, liposomes have a natural ability, and this natural ability comes from a size. So that's what we're going to talk about now, to target cancer. In non-cancerous samples, the epithelial wall of healthy human blood vessels are encapsulated by endothelial cells that are bound together by tight junctions. So we talked about tight junctions in part 2 of this series in Unit 5 and their importance. So these tight junctions stop any particles from the blood from leaking out of the vessel. So healthy tissue will keep out small particles. So how I have this pictured is we have this, you know, the regular material in your body, muscles, et cetera, and they're bond together and they have these tight junctions. And I don't know, for a cartoon that I have in my head, they look like shingles on a house. So they're overlapped. They would keep out, you know, and the analogy would keep out water, you know, on your, as a roofing material. And what we would look at is tumor vesicles, they do not contain the same level of seal of the cells, and they're diagnostically leaky. So historically, they've always called like tumors and cancer like bloody messes, right? So you can look that up on the internet or whatever, and that's how people refer to them. So they're these bloody masses. So they're very leaky, the capillaries, et cetera, and then the leaky, because when the cancer grows, it kind of grows kind of funky. Things aren't in there symmetric, et cetera. So they have, in my analogy here, again, just as a cartoon, it's like a house missing shingles. So if a house was missing shingles, naturally rainwater is going to come in there. But, you know, it's not going to be rainwater. In our case, what we're going to have, what we would want to purposefully leak into those missing shingles would be the drug, the liposome. So this ability, this leakiness of carcinogenic material, this is known, and this missing shingle in here, this ability is known as the enhanced permeability and retention effect. That's very, very important and certainly a huge takeaway from these presentations in Unit 5, that we have this ability. You know, we want to cure cancer or target cancer. What we have to do is differentiate it from the rest of the healthy tissue in the body. And what cancer has, you know, some cancers have as a delineator is this enhanced permeability and retention effect. So the tumors themselves, again, by analogy, since I like to cook and eat, et cetera, I try to tell the students that they're like Swiss cheese and small particles can leak into these defects. And so that's huge. So certainly don't just bypass this key issue that now we want to delineate healthy tissue from cancerous tissue. And basically cancerous tissue is leaky, like a roof that's missing some shingles. And now what we can do, instead of sending in rainwater, what we can send in is our good friend liposomes. And again, you know, we talked about the size. This being 20 to 100 nanometers in size would be the right diameter so that it leaks into these defects in a cancer. So this is huge and certainly exciting information, for cancer patients. So liposomes of certain sizes, typically less than 100 nanometers, can rapidly enter tumor sites from the blood, but are kept in the bloodstream by the endothelial walls and healthy tissue vascular. So this sets up, which is all important, is the ability to selectively deliver, you know, anti-cancer drugs to a site. So anti-cancer drugs such as doxorubicin, which is housed as doxyl inside a liposome, these guys that I can't pronounce, are currently being marketed in liposome delivery systems and take advantage of the leaky tissue to selectively deliver the drug. So later in the presentation, I'll show you a list that I got off of Google that shows a number of liposome-based drug delivery systems. So there's any numbers of those. So we're going to take Donozome is the one we're going to take a look at, and Doxil for the most part inside this presentation. So tumor tissues are usually lack effective lymphatic drainage, so they retain the drug. So if we would look at, again, I'll go back in a slide here. This is the enhanced permeability. That means that they're leaky. The retention is that once they do uptake some kind of drug or a liposome, they can't get rid of it. So tumors tend to not export things that are bad. They don't have a way to take bad things to, say, like smaller particles. They can't get rid of them. They would stay trapped within the tumor. So that retention thing helps us out to deliver these liposomes, because once we would send this drug to the cancer can't get rid of it. So that's kind of really important that they do not have lymphatic drainage. So All these factors lead to abnormal molecular and fluid transport dynamics, especially for macromolecular drugs. And this is what we want to do. We want to take advantage of this difference of the carcinogenic tissue so that we can deliver this liposome. And then once we do, the tumors really can't get rid of this foreign material. So their destiny is predetermined, and hopefully we can win the battle against cancer, at least in this scenario. So the key to Doxil, you know, some keys is the long circulatory lifetime provided by the PEG, so that makes sure that the liposome doesn't get taken out of the system, and the specific size uptake by the leaky tumor from the EPR effect. So the Doxil itself, in our case here, it uses passive targeting. So it's a stealth liposome, so it stays circulating for a long time, so it has a greater chance to find the holes, the leaky tissue within a tumor. And it really doesn't use antibodies on the outer shell to selectively target the Doxil to a location. It's a passive system, and it works by the size and the 100 nanometer or less than 100 nanometer uptake by the leaky EPR effect of the cancerous material. So this shows us the Doxil. And again, you know, this is, you know, 100 nanometers or so or around in there. And this shows the pegylation coating on here, the sugar. And this shows the aqueous core with this doxorubicin HCl that's in here. So this is where the drug would reside. And that's lucky for us, because if this drug would come in contact with your heart, it would destroy your heart. So we're sending this around in the circulatory system, and now this is our protective layer so it doesn't destroy the heart. But now it's going to be uptaked selectively due to size filtration by the leaky tumor and find itself in there. Then the liposome is going to dissolve and deliver our drug. So this is a really nice picture, again, similar to the other pictures that we showed earlier in the presentation. But now it shows us, you know, where we're going. You know, the punchline here is we want to deliver this highly toxic material, but specifically to the tumor. And that's carried out actively by our liposome. So what is the role of Doxil? And in Europe, it's sold as these forms. Frank Zoska, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because it looks like a Slovak name, and I'm a Slovak myself, but I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that name. I forget. I watched a video on him. You should go to YouTube, and he has some presentations on there about selective drug delivery, and he's currently at the UCSF School of Pharmacy, and he's certainly a brilliant man, and he's the inventor of Doxil, so he did a lot of these preliminary drug trials and stuff like that. So certainly try to go to YouTube, put in this gentleman's name, and look up some of the work that he did. He's very entertaining, and it seems like a really nice guy, so you won't mind watching him on YouTube. Very nice speaker. So the goal of many cancer drugs is to kill the tumor faster than the rest of the patient. That's true. So selectivity is important. Again, we looked at how they do this. The Doxil actually houses the poison called doxorubicin, and this doxorubicin is known as red death. So we certainly want to keep that away from the rest of the body. The doxorubicin is an anthracycline. It works by intercalating the DNA, with the most serious adverse effects being life-threatening heart damage. So what this does is you have the two DNA pairs like this, and if we were to replicate a cell, we would split these into two parts and then clone each side so that we could have mitosis or whatever and split the cell apart and divide the cell. So cancer wants to rapidly divide. What we do with this intercalating DNA molecule, this doxorubicin, what we're going to do is we tie the DNA up. So effectively what it's going to do is not allow the DNA to replicate. So that's our idea. And of course, if we did this to, you know, for cellular repair in the heart, et cetera, if we damage the heart material, then that would be bad, you know, for the patient too. So what this does is this treatment selectively inhibits the replication of DNA in cancer cells. So this is, you know, as trivia, it's produced by this strep as a actin bacteria. Sorry. So anthracyclines are amongst the most effective anti-cancer treatments ever developed and are effective against more types of cancer than any other class of chemotherapeutic drugs. And when anybody says chemotherapy, everybody thinks about, at least I do, and I'm a cancer survivor myself, you think about these non-ideal qualities of how sick the cancer treatment makes you. So while they're trying to poison the cancer, the rest of the patient suffers. And what this does is it allows us to actually target this very deadly drug specifically to the tumor. So this daunorubicin is deadly to both the tumor and the heart. Naturally, the goal is to direct the poison to the tumor and prevent interaction with the heart and other non-target tissue. As discussed, this selectivity is carried out with the use of liposome that protects the heart and at the same time shows preference to the tumor. So this is, I think, really eloquent, well-defined, and really brilliant that people have been working on these therapies. And it shows, you know, the goal of what we need to do is to target the tumor, leave the rest of the patient healthy. And this is just phenomenal, this type of therapy. So daunorubicin, so this is another type, I wouldn't say of Doxil, but a cousin of Doxil, which belongs to the same classification of anthracyclines. They're used to treat many types of cancer and work by interfering with the production of DNA or genetic makeup of cancer cells, preventing them from multiplying. Since its launch in 1996, so this is on the market for a while, thousands of patients have been treated with this drug. This has a different delivery system compared to conventional anthracyclines, and this uses the protective coating of pegs on a liposome, and it does the same thing, and it uses the same type of reaction as Doxil. So this shows this other drug, which is similar to Doxil, but it's a little bit smaller, between 35 and 65 nanometers, and then we put the Red Death inside here, and then send this to, and certainly there's going to be the coating on here that would be the stealth pegylation that's on here. And again, this is a passive uptake drug that would go selectively to tumors. So this was the first cancer product based on liposomes. It uses the PEG enhanced surface for long circulation time. These long circulating liposomes are found to target tumor tissue by the EPR effector again. So again, EPR is the property by which certain size of molecules, typically liposomes, nanoparticles, and molecular drugs, tend to accumulate in tumor tissue much more than they do in normal tissues. And again, this EPR effect, what we're doing is we're keying on it now for liposomes, but we can certainly do things like send in, 75 nanometer gold. And now gold is going to be selectively uptaked by the defects and this EPR effect in tumors. So we can send in gold, not only liposomes, but we might send in gold. And what we can do with the gold later on, we're going to take a look at the presentation in the next presentation in part four. What we can do is probably send in some type of some energy, and what this 75 nanometers would be tuned, or the energy would be tuned so that it would actually capture that energy. And what it could do is be used as a fluorescent tag, and or it could put off heat so it could actually cook the tumor. So this EPR effect could and strategy could be used with other elements, not just liposomes. They could be used with quantum dots, metal nanoparticles, and other entities. They could be used with organic nanoparticles, too, for a delivery system. So liposomal delivery of doxorubicin HCl improves drug penetration into the tumors and decreases drug clearance, therefore increasing the duration of therapeutic drug effects. A liposomal formulation of doxorubicin also modulates toxicity, specifically to the cardiac effects commonly seen in anthracycline anti-tumor drugs. So doxorubicin intercalates between the base pairs of DNA helix, preventing DNA replication and ultimately inhibiting protein synthesis. This inhibits rapid growth of cancer cells. So the liposome passively targets the tumor, not the other cells. Coatings on the liposomes keep it active in the bloodstream so that it can be filtered and trapped to the tumor. So this is really the punchline of what we want to do with the liposomes themselves. So we have a way of targeting the tumor and a way of protecting the rest of the patient. So this is a list of chemically approved liposomes that I took a quick search on the internet, and I'm not going to, you know, dwell on these, but you're more than welcome to, you know, look these up. And, you know, we took a look at these, you know, so far in the presentation, and you can take a look at what these are used for. So they're not just per se cancer, but they could be used for hepatitis. And I saw there's HIV related Kaposi sarcoma, stuff like that. So there's all kind of different entities that these can target. So you can more than welcome to take a look at those on your own for some independent research. And the importance of, you know, these liposomes or myocells for delivery systems. So liposomes can also be used for delivery, as I mentioned before in the beginning of the presentation, for delivery of either DNA or RNA to a specific site. So this, you know, is shown in the body that we can actually do this in vivo. We can actually take, you know, genetically altered or correct DNA, put it in a liposome, circulate this throughout the system, hopefully that it's targeted probably on the outside with some kind of antibodies so that it would find a specific cell. And then what it would do is be actually swallowed through uptake through this destabilization. The liposome comes down on the surface of the target cell, and what it'll do is just uptake this into the cellular material and then dump its contents into the cytoplasm of the cell. So this isn't well understood how this activity takes place, but they tried to put antibodies on here so that it sticks. And then sooner or later, this gets swallowed by the cell, opens up, and then it's able to dump its contents within, which would, in our case, be RNA or DNA. So we can also take a look at the liposomes for nutrition. So nutritional supplement companies are currently encapsulating nutrients such as vitamin C and liposomes. And this is the one, certainly, if you would take a look at YouTube, they have a lot of vitamin C liposome delivery systems, or they tout its effectiveness. So liposome delivery increases the bioavailability of nutrients compared to the traditional oral dietary capsules. Liposomes bypass the destructive elements of the gastric system and aid the encapsulated nutrient to be delivered to the cell or tissues that they're desired. So the hydrophilic drugs and nutrient tags can be trapped in the central aqueous core of the liposomes, and the fat-soluble drugs can actually be placed in the lipid bilayer.